Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Jesus said, recorded in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now this was a statement of Jesus spoken in the midst of his discussion on the providence of God and how God cares for his creatures, especially mankind. He cares for the sparrows and even the grass, which today is and tomorrow is not. "Consider the lilies," he said, and he shows how he cares for such things. Jesus concluded, "If God cares for those things, how much more does he care for the human being that's made after his own spiritual image?" Matthew 6 and verse 30. There are four major points we want to consider as we analyze this statement of our Lord. It contains an obligation of man, something to do, and an object, what to seek, an order of priorities, and we see that here is a conditional offer from God. Yes, we have the obligation to seek. The word seek carries the idea of a diligent search and a patient inquiry. The New Testament abounds with instructions and admonitions along this line. Take our concordance and run the references dealing with the Christian life, and we discover the frequency of such passages, the emphasis that's given to activity. For instance, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Philippians 2 and verse 12. And again Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul wrote, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Galatians 5 and verse 6. And Jesus said, John 9:4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Now look at this last passage, and see how Jesus taught that we must work. It is not that it would just be better if we did, but we ought to, we must, we have an obligation. Furthermore, we must work the works of the Father, not that of the devil, and not that of our own will. We must work while there's time and while there's opportunity, because both shall eventually be taken away. Do you know that today is the only time that we have? We all understand that. The night cometh when none can work anymore. In Luke 13:24, "Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now, that which is like our word agonize is the Greek word agnizo. It means, translated, strive. Jesus is teaching how much agonizing we are to do, if necessary, to gain heaven. Sometimes we even complain we're inconvenienced. But let us be impressed that Matthew 6:33 carries it a definite obligation on our part to seek something. It also specifies the object of our seeking. God's kingdom and his righteousness, that's the object. The world is overflowing with those that are following philosophies of life that are not satisfying to them. They have not found that for which the soul longs and the heart sighs. They try first one thing, then another, trying to get something into life and out of life. Well, here's the answer. It's the object of our seeking. To seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness means to seek the benefits and blessings that are found only that way. The kingdom of God is his church. His righteousness is his commandments. "All thy commandments are righteousness," Psalm 119, verse 172. Righteousness means right doing as God's word has defined the right. And we enter into his kingdom by being born again, John 3, 3 through 5. What Jesus is teaching is that we must seek the church. We must seek the will of God. We're to strive to learn, to know, to follow what he has directed. So many times people are misled to believe that the church does not really matter. God's commandments are relegated to a state of something optional rather than required. However, friend, salvation is in the church. It can only be attained in the church. That's what is revealed to us in the Scripture. In fact, the church is composed of the saved. That's what makes up the church. How can we, one, be saved and not be a member of the saved? Why, the saved is the church. You simply need to understand the biblical, not denominational, understanding of the church. And our priority is to seek the kingdom as the Lord's righteousness first. Now, you know the word first is not difficult to understand. We know what that means. Nothing else comes before it. We have no difficulty whatever in understanding the meaning of the word. We have more difficulty in obeying this teaching. And the reason we do is because we want to go our own way, but it's not because we don't understand it. It simply means that everything else is secondary to the kingdom and his righteousness. To put it down in very practical terms, it means that when I have two places to go and one of them involves some secular and personal interest and the other is concerning the specific work of the Lord, I'm to attend to the Father's business first. It means when I have a limited amount of money and wish to do certain things with it, but also I have my responsibility to give as prospered, I give to the Lord's cause first. It means when there are two courses open to me, one of them is harmonious with God's will and the other is not, I go God's way. The other, however worthy it might appear to me, cannot take the place of what must be first. We need not belabor this matter. We can all understand where our priorities should be. This is a hard problem for many who have not yet learned the will of God and have temptations to set aside what they have learned. First simply means first, and nothing can stand alongside of it or before it. The next time you are tempted, by the way, to be absent from worship in order to go visiting or watch television or rest or take up some recreation or make money or whatever, try to remember what the Lord taught, to seek things first that he has decreed to be first. We make so many excuses as to why we do not put his cause first, but friend, excuses will not excuse. Our excuses merely reflect our unwillingness to do what God has said. We're often like the man who was asked by his neighbor to loan him his axe. He refused on the basis that he had to eat soup with it. The neighbor complained, but nobody eats soup with an axe. Well, that's right, the man said. But when you don't want to do something, one excuse is just about as good as another. Finally, we see the result of seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. All these things, Jesus said, and that refers to the physical provisions of what Jesus had just been discussing. God cares for animals, for the birds, for the flowers. He will care for his people. The material necessities of life are provided. God knows we have material and physical needs. Some folks worry over them and strive for them as if they think God didn't know that we have any need of such things, but he does. And here is the way to be sure that we shall have what we need. People will absent themselves from work and worship in order to care for the things of this life and act like God has forgotten all about such needs of the human family, but he knows. And he has promised us what we need, provided we meet the condition of putting first things first. Now, he has not promised us material wealth and abundance. You know, some cheapen the pleas of Christ to mean that you can have a better job and a bigger house and a nicer car and on, if only you'll serve the Lord. God never promised such things. He has promised we shall have what we need, not everything that we want. It is often the case that people want what is not best for them anyway. God knows what is best. He knows what we need. He knows we have needs. But what is best for us to have, he knows better than we know. And he promises that if we keep things in proper order of importance, He will provide what His infinite wisdom determines that we need. And this should lead us away from majoring in minors and minoring in majors. It shall lead us to put first things first, just like the Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.